Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking together at that greatest of sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We concluded our look at the sermon a couple of weeks ago, but the sermon is central to what Jesus is all about. Matthew tells us that Jesus came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," or "the kingdom of God is near. Indeed, the kingdom of God has come. It is coming in Christ. It has come upon us." We live in the kingdom of God by faith in Christ. We said that the Sermon on the Mount is the manifesto of the kingdom. It's the public declaration of the values, perspectives, and lifestyle and practices of kingdom of God people. People who recognize Christ as Savior and God as King of their lives. And so we have said, as we looked at this study, as we considered the kingdom, we were reminded that the kingdom of God is not simply something that we're waiting for in a distant future, although the fulfillment is yet to come, but by God's grace through salvation, by God's grace through a spirit of humility, we now dwell in the kingdom of God. This morning I want us to talk about something that I think probably many of us in this room are somewhat related to or familiar with. And it is this. We're going to talk about emigrating and immigrating. Do you know what that is? Emigrating means leaving your country. Immigrating means moving into a new country. Emigrating and immigrating. When we were physically born, we were born into the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of mankind, the physical kingdom of this world. But what Jesus came to say is this: we can, by His grace, through Jesus Christ, emigrate. We can leave this physical world and immigrate into the kingdom of God. And we don't have to wait for death to do that. We can begin to do it now. In our heart, in our spirit, in our mind, in the way that we relate to God, in the way that we relate to our world, we can emigrate from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven. McLaren, in his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, put it this way: we can emigrate from the old, confusing kingdom of egotism, racism, consumerism, and hedonism, and immigrate to the expansive kingdom of God. We're reminded that Paul tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, that by grace through faith we are already citizens of heaven. But in our mind, in our spirit, we need to emigrate. We need to immigrate. If you've ever done that, you know that it's a process. You know, it isn't something that just happens with the snap of a finger. There are certain aspects, there are certain things that have to happen, have to take place for us to successfully emigrate or successfully immigrate into the new kingdom. I want us to think a bit about those steps, those aspects. The Bible shows us that the process, if you will, of immigrating from the kingdom of this man to which we are physically born into the kingdom of God by which we are born again by God's grace requires, among other things, repentance. Repentance. If you've ever emigrated and immigrated, you know that to integrate successfully into a new kingdom, we must understand that kingdom. We must respect and put into practice the values, perspectives, and actions of our new culture. We must be willing to, on some level, assimilate. That's what the Sermon on the Mount really is about. Is saying this is what life is like in the kingdom of God. And then we've seen that Jesus closed that sermon by saying, make a choice. Will you, by His grace, emigrate from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God? It requires repentance. Now, repentance is a word that none of us likes, right? It probably brings up kind of negative connotations in our lives. We naturally balk at repentance, because repentance requires a radical rethinking of our life. It requires a paradigm shift. It requires a return to zero. It requires that which we all hate, And it's this, change. Right? We all naturally hate change. I read something one time that said, even babies cry when they get changed, right? you get that? We all just naturally hate change. But that's what repentance is. Matter of fact, that's the very definition of repentance. It's a change, a real, a true change. Now, Jesus talked about it in a little bit different way. Jesus said, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, Jesus said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That's a picture of repentance. That's a picture of complete change, right? He also said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like little children. You must, in a way, spiritually start over again. If you've ever immigrated. As you know, for a few years, my wife and I emigrated from the U.S. and immigrated into the country of Bangladesh, night and day, as you can well imagine. And that was a time of challenge, and we knew many people who were doing that. And they would say to me, how do we do this? And I said, one of the things I've learned in my short time in doing this is this. To successfully immigrate into a new culture that's very different from your old, you have to become like a child. You have to, because you don't know anything. You know, when you land in Bangladesh, in our case, you don't know the language, you know nothing. You don't know anything, and you just feel like a child. And you have to humble yourself to that. And I often thought about it over the years, how that is just like immigrating into the kingdom of heaven. We become like a child. We humble ourselves to our Heavenly Father, and we trust Him to lead us successfully into the kingdom. When we speak of repentance, we often speak of confession along with it, don't we? Confession and repentance, how do they relate to one another? So you could look at it this way. Confession is the recognition of the need to change. Confession is simply saying, I recognize, I admit, I need to change. That's confession. And then repentance, of course, is that act of actually changing it. Many years ago, I read a cute little story that kind of illustrated the relationship between confession and repentance. The story is told of the Corps of Engineers who were building a road through a deep, dark, remote jungle. And they had been toiling on this road for weeks. They were becoming frustrated and discouraged with their job, but finally, after a long time, and with much suffering, they began to make forward progress through this jungle. However, one day, one of the workers decided to climb the tallest tree around and look out to see how they were doing. And when he got to the top of the tree, he yelled down to his fellow workers, "We're in the wrong jungle." How do you suppose the people on the ground reacted? You know what they shouted back up? "Shut up! We're making great progress." Confession is realizing, admitting, I'm in the wrong jungle, right? Repentance is climbing down from the tree of confession, packing up all the tools, and getting into the right jungle, and starting all over again. Repentance, confession. To successfully immigrate, we need repentance and confession. And of course, that is built, as you well know, on the bedrock of faith. Faith. McLaren says, once you have the capacity for self-doubt, you find yourself more able to trust God. Confession and repentance is self-doubt. It's the guy that climbs the tree and says, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong jungle, right? But when we do that, it also can lead to faith, because it says, I need someone to change me. I need someone to guide me. I need someone to show me the way. That is what faith is all about. Saving faith. Saving faith is more than just statically believing about Jesus. Did you know that the devil himself believes about Jesus? That's not saving faith. Saving faith is believing in Jesus and trusting Him, putting our heart and our lives into his hands, being born again. That's saving faith. We might ask, where do I get this kind of faith? Saving faith. Faith that enables us to confess and repent. Faith that leads to a being born again, to being changed. It's not something we find in ourselves. It's not something we find in this world. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:8 that it is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. We cannot create it. We can only receive it with humble and trusting hearts. And sometimes we ask, how much faith do I need to be saved? How much faith do I need to be saved? But how do you measure faith? How do you measure faith? You ever thought about it? How do you measure faith? Is the measurement of my faith based upon how much faith I claim to have? Is the measurement of my faith based upon how hard I believe? I don't think those are true measurements. The Bible teaches us, and particularly James, in his great little book in the New Testament, teaches us that the way to measure our faith is through our lives. He says, faith without works is a dead faith. Or to flip that on the other side, a living faith leads to a living life. It leads to a change. It leads to confession. It leads to repentance. It leads to a new life. McLaren says, faith that counts then is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of action. Let me say that one more time. Faith that counts then is not the absence of doubt. So many of us are chasing that and wondering why we can't ever get to that place. But he says it's more about, based on what James has said, the presence of action. Living out our faith day by day. So if we want to successfully emigrate from the old kingdom of man, immigrate to the eternal kingdom of God, we need to know confession and repentance. We need to build our hearts and our lives on a faith that is a gift from God, and we need to receive. We need to receive. I think if we've done any disservice as the evangelical church, we have often over the past century or so taught that salvation is about what I give God instead of what He gives me. How many times do we talk about salvation as giving your heart to God? Right? Now, it isn't that we shouldn't give our hearts to God. Indeed, we should. But that's sanctification. Salvation. Coming into the kingdom. It's not about what I give Him. It's about what He gives us. It's about receiving. It's about humility. It's about becoming as a little child. And what do we receive? Well, many things, obviously. But we receive forgiveness for sin. Because, you see, the bottom line is this. It is our sinful nature, our rebellion, our pride, our self-trust, that separates us from God. But in Christ Jesus, we can be free from the power and the presence of sin in our lives. There's a great verse in the Old Testament, back in the Psalms. Psalm 103 and verse 10, the psalmist said, God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's forgiveness. Paul, in Romans 8 and verse 1, as he revels in this truth of the forgiveness in Christ, he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, that's what we receive. And everything we need to live in the kingdom. So I was thinking about that this morning. And my mind was casting back to our days in Bangladesh, especially those first months when we were just like children. I remember so well a long-term missionary came to me with a little thin book. I don't remember exactly what the title of the book was, but basically this book was written primarily by her mission, but it was shared with missionaries and other workers in other nations other than their own, that told you the basics about the society, the culture in which you were moving, just the basic stuff that you needed to know. And I remember how I opened that book and I drank it up. I needed to know some basic things to have a successful immigration. But God gives us all that we need. He gives us, of course, His very presence, His Holy Spirit. We immigrate holding on to His hand. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And then, of course, He gives us His Word, the Bible, which is like a roadmap to the culture of the kingdom of God. We receive from God. To immigrate successfully is confession and repentance. It's faith. It's receiving. And then it is going public with our new citizenship. We've just come through 1st of July, Canada Day. We've just come through 4th of July, Independence Day. And who are the people at those times who are most decked out in red and white? You know, usually the ones that are waving the flags. Who are those people? It's usually the new citizens, isn't it? Right? It's the new citizens. Because they want everyone to know, look what I've done. Look how blessed I am. We go public when we emigrate into the kingdom of God. And the first step of going public is baptism. Did you know that's what baptism is all about? Peter said, when he preached that first great gospel sermon about how to emigrate and immigrate, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent, and then the public declaration of that repentance is baptism. Baptism is like putting red and white on and waving the flags, right? It's saying, I now am in the kingdom. I now, by God's grace, am in the kingdom. Have you done that? Have you gone public? If you haven't, I want to talk to you about how you can go public. And we can help you make that step, that important step of baptism. Going public. And then, of course, as we live out our faith every day, we go public. When you leave the comfortable confines of our church here this morning, you're going to go out into the kingdom of this world, aren't you? At work, at home, at play, wherever. Go public. Wear the flag. Don't be afraid to wear the flag for Jesus Christ. Go public. And then, of course, there's the step of discipleship, following Christ. Some of the last words that Jesus spoke to His disciples before He went to back to heaven was this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, a disciple goes beyond just simply knowing the rules or simply hearing the word. A disciple lives the word, lives the life of a kingdom dweller. The Sermon on the Mount, we saw, I hope, is not a doctrinal statement. It's not a list of, if you believe these things, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 1, A, B, C, D, 2, A, B, C, D, E. It's not a list like that, is it? Remember, many, many years ago, I was taught the Sermon on the Mount like that, and then I realized when I tried to apply it, I couldn't. It really isn't about a bunch of rules. It's about how to live. It's about life in the kingdom, isn't it? It's about life in the kingdom. That's what discipleship is, living out our faith. Let me ask you this morning, where is your citizenship? Where is your citizenship? I don't mean citizenship in this world, but I mean your citizenship in the eternal kingdom. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to? If you're not, do you want to immigrate today? Out of that old kingdom of man, that passing kingdom, into the eternal kingdom of God? Or if you know that you've made that decision, do you want to go public? Tell others, tell the world. I'm in the kingdom by God's grace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your grace. Lord, we can preach and think and talk about the kingdom and being a citizen of the kingdom only because of Your grace. Because You sent Your Son. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus resurrected for our eternal life. He opened the door and made the way for us to enter. Lord, help us to enter with faith. Help us to wave the flag of the kingdom and give all praise to You. In Jesus' name.